Welcome to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. We introduce you to the voices of community thought leaders and change makers who are working on solutions that face our fellow individual community members, neighborhoods, cities, and our region. This is George Koster, your host. This episode is part of our series exploring COVID-19's impact on nonprofits and small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. Back in April of 2020, when we decided to create this ongoing series on COVID-19's impact, first on nonprofits and then on small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, we, like you, had no idea how long the pandemic would go on and what the health and economic impact would be in our community. As we enter the second half of 2022 with the latest explosion of cases from the most recent COVID-19 Omicron mutations, along with the masking requirements being changed and folks getting their vaccinations, our communities are still struggling to deal with the health, economic, mental, and societal impacts of the ongoing global pandemic. This all adds to the ongoing uncertainty of our ever-changing indoor and outdoor, vaccinated and unvaccinated protocols, and the politics of the pandemic that will drive how we all come back together as a unified or fractured community. We will continue to shine a spotlight on the nonprofits and small businesses that make up the fabric of our community, along with the founders and staff who are struggling to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their operations, services, and sustainability until we can all get to the other side of the pandemic. Along the way, we will also share with you all the amazing solutions that our nonprofits, small businesses, foundations, and government leaders are working on to help us all get to the other side of the pandemic and come together to rebuild our communities with more economic, social, and environmental equality.
You know, being homeless, I mean, it is very hard and it's a long road and the lack of supports out there. And then a meeting with the project, it gave me my life back, really, and my self-esteem personally, because, I mean, it is hard when you're living in a society that has no compassion for anybody that's in the homeless or in the low-income stage.
One of the topics we have focused on through our special COVID-19 series are organizations and governments that are experimenting with providing cash transfers to unhoused community members. We're finishing up our special series on COVID-19's impact on our nonprofits, small businesses, and local governments with this very informative and insightful interview with Foundations for Social Change. Foundations for Social Change were the first organization in North America to develop a research project to study the impact on the lives of our unhoused neighbors through providing cash transfers to unhoused community members. In this episode, we feature the voices of the Associate Professor and Canada Research Chair in the Department of Psychology Institute for Resources, Environment, and Sustainability at the University of British Columbia, Dr. Zhang Zhao, along with the Director of the New Leaf Project, Heather Hay, and the LEAP Co-Chair and Peer Coordinator, Ray Bonnaroo. I'm joined remotely by Dr. Zhang Zhao, an Associate Professor and Canada Research Chair in the Department of Psychology Institute for Resources, Environment, and Sustainability at the University of British Columbia, along with the Director of the New Leaf Project, Heather Hay, and the LEAP Co-Chair and Peer Coordinator, Ray Bonrouge. Welcome to Voices of the Community, Dr. Zhao, Ray, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
And I will call you Dr. Jay-Z or just Jay-Z. So staying with you, Jay-Z, could you provide the audience some context and kind of background about the actual study that you put together on providing cash transfers directly to unhoused community members there in British Columbia?
Sure. Foundations for Social Change started the New Leaf Project back in 2016. It was co-founded by Claire Williams and Franz Chelangi. I joined the combo as the research lead for the pilot. So this project was motivated by an innovation, which is to reduce homelessness with cash transfers. The reason being, the existing approaches to homelessness include providing emergency services like shelters, providing healthcare services like detox treatment programs, or providing supportive housing. None of the existing approaches addresses the core cause of homelessness, which is lack of money. So this is where we came in. We want to provide people with a large lump sum cash transfer so that they can make decisions for themselves. They can decide how to spend the money so they can get out of homelessness and into stability. The whole project was founded upon this model, which is believe in someone. We will distribute the cash transfer. We believe in you to make the best choices for yourself. That's the idea. So in this pilot, we recruited 115 individuals experiencing homelessness in Vancouver, and we gave 50 of these individuals a one-time cash transfer of $7,500. And we tracked the impact of the cash transfer for 1 year. And what we found was incredibly promising results from the pilot. So the cash recipients reduced their days in homelessness. So they reduced close to 3 months in homelessness. They were able to get into stable housing faster than people who did not get the cash transfer. They increased their savings, spending, particularly spending on rent, food, clothing, transit, and durable goods like furniture, cars, etc. We saw that our cash recipients actually slightly reduced their spending on alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, and people who did not get the cash transfer actually slightly increased their spending on those items. And finally, I want to say that because of the cash transfer, people relied on social services less. They actually become more self-sufficient and independent. So what this shows is that cash transfers help people significantly. They help people get out of homelessness, and they help government save money at the end of the day.
Of the pool of members in the pilot, what would you say was the percentage of the participants that were actually able to stabilize their housing and move out of being, if you will, unhoused or living out in the open?
So at 1 month after the cash transfer, close to 50% of the cash recipients were able to get into stable housing. And over 1 month, that rose close to 80%. So over 1 year, over 80% got out of homelessness. Whereas people who did not get the cash transfer were still able to get out of homelessness, but at a much slower rate.
And this study then led to another study. And do you want to share with the audience a little bit about the outcomes that came from the first study that led to the second study? And then we'll turn to Heather to talk about the actual New Leaf project itself. What are all the components of it?
So the pilot study had a small number of people. So as I said before, it only had 115 people in it. It was a small sample size, which means that a lot of the outcomes were not significant because we didn't have the statistical power to detect a difference in a lot of outcomes we tracked. So outcomes like income, education, employment, food security, cognitive function, well-being, etc. There was a positive trend in all those outcomes, but we weren't able to detect a statistical significance. So that motivated the expansion project where we quadrupled our sample size. So now we will have 400 people in the expansion project. So that will give us enough statistical power to detect a difference between the cash and control groups. So I think this is like the much improved version from pilot. I'll hand it over to Heather to explain more of what we're doing in the expansion project.
And this is the creation of the New Leaf project. So Heather, can you provide us a whole kind of context and background of what is the New Leaf project?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, George. And thanks, Jay-Z. So the pilot project, George, was also called the New Leaf Project. So this project that we're currently doing now is the New Leaf Expansion Project. So as Jay-Z said, in the original project, there was 50 cash transfers. In this project, we're looking at recruiting 400 people. 200 individuals will receive cash and 200 people will be in the controls. So we do have efficiencies. One is partnership and connection with community organizations. So we have a memorandum of agreement with over 28 community organizations. They work as our referral partners to the population that we would like to receive into the project. And through those community organizations, we've identified a key role, which is community connectors who support the participants through the project over the course of the year. So they do the recruitment, the follow-up, and act more like a meaningful friend through the whole process. Secondly, we have a very rigorous oversight, both with UBC Ethics as well as with the Data Review Board. And I think the population that we've chosen is really basically a population who we guesstimated would do no harm to self or to others on receipt of the cash transfer.
And Heather, staying with you, besides just the actual cash transfer, are there other wraparound services that your community service partners are providing the participants in the program?
Yeah, good question, George. Thanks. I always forget about that. And it is more than just cash. And certainly our participants will tell us it's more than just cash as well. But we have other partnerships. So we have a partnership with TELUS, our large telephone and communications company. They provide free telephones and SIM cards for a year to the participants, both cash and non-cash. We also have a very strong partnership with VanCity, who's our banking partner. And VanCity provides us with all the financial support. So free savings accounts for all of the participants. And they have a key contact person across all of their branches. And the beauty about that is oftentimes homeless people are really shame-based and have a lot of stigma, and it's difficult for them to walk into a bank, open up an account, and go through those processes. So having somebody at the bank that knows about the project and can really help people wayfind through that process has been invaluable to the success of the project.
Heather, you've done this over the last multiple years. How has COVID impacted the pilot program and now your phase two?
JC, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah. So we were fortunate to wrap up the pilot project just as COVID, the pandemic started. So that didn't really influence our pilot. And we launched the expansion in May this year when the restrictions are being lifted. But I have to say that over the summer, we did experience people getting sick from various illnesses, including COVID, but that just happens to everyone. But yeah, Heather?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that during COVID, we had some good financial support from our federal government, provincial governments through CERB, which was financial assistance. And now that CERB has completed and finished and that support is not available to individuals, I think it leaves a glaring gap in the supports to our families who are the working poor. And I think during COVID, they somewhat didn't have to worry about paycheck coming in because CERB was there and CERB kind of balanced that out. But I think it's back now to a situation where we don't have universal basic income. And so people are still struggling about how to make ends meet, particularly here in Vancouver. Some of the trends that we're seeing from the expansion project are because of a huge increase in rents. Our rent increased over 46% this year in BC. So people are just been unable to meet their rent agreements, and we're seeing way more evictions. And I think partly it's because being on a fixed income and with the cost of housing going up, they're defaulting to the street.
You're listening to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. Voices of the Community is supported by a grant from the James Irvine Foundation, dedicated to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. More at irvine.org. This is George Koster, your host, and if you're just joining us, today's episode is focused on the Foundation for Social Change's study on the impact on unhoused neighbors through providing cash transfers directly to homeless community members. Let's get back to our conversation about the findings and recommendations from the study with the Associate Professor and Canada Research Chair in the Department of Psychology Institute for Resources, Environment, and Sustainability at the University of British Columbia, Dr. Zhang Zhao, along with the Director of the New Leaf Project, Heather Hay, and the LEAP Co-Chair and Peer Coordinator, Ray Bonnaroo. So turning back to you, JC, and this is also for you, Heather, as well. So the outcomes from the pilot and now going into the second phase of it, have you utilized this information to share with the City of Vancouver plus the regional government? Has it helped impact any change of policy? I guess my question would be how the outcome from the studies have impacted or not impacted local government policy.
We have communicated our findings of the pilot to the city, state, even federal governments in Canada and US and UK. But there hasn't been meaningful policy change at this point for many reasons. One is I don't think we can change policies based on a small study of 100 people. That's precisely why we're doing the expansion project. Two is there's still a lot of public resistance to the idea of giving people in homelessness cash because the public don't trust people in poverty or people in homelessness. I think that has to be corrected and addressed. In the preprint that I shared with you, we actually did two more large-scale experiments to demonstrate this deep public mistrust toward people in homelessness and the way to kind of mitigate or address this bias. So I think to make policy change happen, we need several critical ingredients. One is more robust evidence with a larger sample. Two is frame the impact of a cash transfer as reducing costs. I think that's something to showcase the cost effectiveness of this program and to erase that public concern of misuse of cash. So we need to highlight the fact that people are able to use money wisely and to better their lives. But obviously, we're not politicians, so we can't guarantee policy change.
And Heather, have you seen any reaction in the States? I know you've worked with some of the nonprofits like our friend Kevin Adler at Miracle Messages, who was our December show on his Miracle Money program. And then you had Michael Tubbs, who was the mayor of Stockton, which we featured in our documentary, who did the first one here. So have you seen any movement here stateside, if you will, on the data? Because, I mean, this is factual information that actually does have an impact.
Yeah, so I can't talk to the data. So Jay-Z can probably talk more about the relationships across cash transfers projects, because there's many now in the States and worldwide. So, and we were, I guess, the initial cash transfer project that actually helped for their application to happen with Miracle Messages. And they're a strong partner of ours, even in the expansion project. So they're providing Miracle Friends. And so we have linked with them over time. Our project and our process has been very contained to BC alone. We attempted to actually do some expansion into the Toronto area and we couldn't get any traction. And I think even the conversation, so having the podcast that we're on today and the communication, lots more community mobilization, connectedness, I think, in the States, and it's starting to gain some momentum. Jay-Z, do you have any thoughts around data sharing or what your thoughts are?
Yeah. So a key distinction between our program and a lot of programs that are happening in the US and the UK is that we provide a one-time large lump sum transfer, whereas a lot of the other programs, monthly smaller payments, around $500 usually. There are pros and cons of each approach. The monthly payments mimic the welfare checks. They provide security, but each payment is small, whereas our payment is large, but it's one time. The other distinction is, I think, our populations are people experiencing homelessness, whereas theirs is people who are low-income families. They're usually housed, whereas ours are not housed. So I don't think we can easily compare the results. But what we can do is, as Heather said, scale this project to different cities in Canada, keeping the same design, and then we can compare results.
Thank you, Jay-Z. All right. So, Ray, turning to you, you were a participant in the initial pilot program. Can you share with the audience a little bit about your experience in participating in the program and how that's helped you?
It all started back in 2017. I was dealing with EI, or government funding for when we go unemployed. And I tried to get schooling, and apparently that wasn't part of their program, which they ended up shutting my EI down. And then I became homeless, and I lived in a shelter in about a year and a half. And that's when I was introduced with the New Leaf Project. And I got involved with them. They approached me and asked me if I wanted to do a survey, and which I did. And I thought, well, I got $20. I thought that was great, and didn't realize that it was going to progress into a larger project. So I got involved with that. And I guess I was one of the first people that got the cash transfer. And it was quite the shock, because it was like, this is unreal. And so it took me about a week to finally take $100 out of the account and spend it, just to see if there was any repercussions, right? And there wasn't. So then that's where I started making goal settings. I wanted to be part of the frontline work with the homeless and people of addictions and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I've been involved with it in my past life. And so I finally got my schooling. And so I became a community support worker, and it's been going great ever since.
And Ray, can you share what the LEAP, so it's L-E-A-P, and between you and Heather, you can explain what that acronym means, and you're the co-chair and a peer coordinator. So what is that LEAP program, and then what do you do as a peer coordinator?
Well, I'm involved. What we have a project is called the Ambassador Project. And it's when participants fulfill the year project. And then they have the choice of joining the Ambassador Project. And what we do is we try to find things that help support the homeless. We want to create some where there's information where people can go and get help that they need out in the streets.
And I can add to that, George. So LEAP, L-E-A-P, was the lived experience panel, and Ray was co-chairing that, and that was from the pilot project. And one of the reasons why we established LEAP, because we have a principle of nothing about us without us. So it was really important for us to include the voices of the participants as we were planning for the Vancouver Expansion Project and learning from them. One of the big learnings I think that Ray brought to the table and others on the LEAP panel was exactly what he said, is what an emotional time it is for people when they receive the cash. And being research and so being from an arm's length community organization, I think many of the participants aren't really trusting. And the ambassadors and the LEAP panel members said, we can help with that, Heather. So when people receive their cash, we can help be that bridge and let them know, no, this is for real, and provide that street cred that we need in order to soften and make individual participants available to the notion that deserving enough to have this cash, no strings attached.
Thank you. And staying with you, Heather, and this is a question for each of you. What do you feel has been the biggest impact of both, I'm going to say the program, and then I'm going to ask Jay-Z of the study, but what do you feel has been the biggest impact on community members there in BC?
So there's three things, I think, from my perspective. Number one is most of the community organizations that we're working with say, Heather, if it hasn't been for this project, we would never have known about these individuals who need support. So that's been illuminating to the community organizations. And secondly, I think there's been a huge impact on the individuals alone. Like some of the stories, and we've been working with directly with participants, the impact on their lives and what they've been able to do and move on with their lives is really actually quite gut-wrenching. And I think it's so simple, like, why aren't we doing this, right? And I think the third impact has been, even for the most seasoned community connectors, I think there's been a huge elevation in compassion to the significant situations that a huge number of the members of our society and population are living in. And I think that's been overwhelming for many of the connectors as well.
Thank you. Ray, turning to you, you've both been a participant, so it's had impact on you on a personal level, but what do you feel, could you share about both?
You know, being homeless, I mean, it is very hard and it's a long road and the lack of supports out there. And then a meeting with the project, it gave me my life back, really, and my self-esteem personally, because, I mean, it is hard when you're living in a society that has no compassion for anybody that's in the homeless or in the low-income stage, right? And then being able to having choices again and able to have a direction in life and getting my life back, I mean, that was awesome. I mean, there's nothing like it, right? And my hat's off to this project. I'm always grateful and I will always be grateful for what they did for me.
Thank you, Ray. I'm going to turn to our final question, which is, what do you feel are some of the good things that have come out of the pandemic, if you will, to support your work, your program, unhoused community members in BC, and in a sense, the magnification of that even stateside? Jay-Z, would you like to start?
I mean, the good thing about the pandemic is that over 100 countries in the world have used cash transfers to help its citizens. That really demonstrates the need for cash or the power of cash, but we need to do it more. I mean, we can't just use it once and say that's only a pandemic specific thing. It has to be a piece of the social protection in Canada and in other countries as well.
Thank you. Heather, Ray, thoughts?
Well, during the pandemic, I mean, homelessness doesn't stop. And I mean, and I was always out there, regardless was with the orders and stuff like that. I mean, I did a lot of the outfield work, collecting stories and stuff like that, meeting all kinds of people that on the streets, and it was amazing, right? And I mean, and then having that chance to getting somebody back onto their feet again, just to see their faces and the gratefulness that we were there for them, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, to me, it heals me every day being able to be out there and helping the people that are in need.
Yeah, from my perspective, I don't see the relationship between any of the outcomes of the pandemic and the further support for our program. Like, I think even as we speak today, our governments are starting to roll back CERB. There's 850,000 people across Canada who received benefits during the pandemic and now are facing a rollback of those dollars that were provided to them. So I think if we're thinking in our head that the pandemic was a gateway to be able to assist with universal basic income or additional cash transfers, or I don't see that happening. I don't think that it has improved any kind of government softness that people are deserving of increased benefits so that the way that they're transferred.
Thank you, Jay-Z, Ray, and Heather, for sharing your wonderful work and the creation and execution of the New Leaf Project, as well as all your research and data on the success of providing direct cash transfers to unhoused community members. We'll make sure that listeners have information on your website, and the first phase of that research, I'll make sure we have a link of that on the direct giving model, along with links to donate to your latest New Leaf program. Please stay safe and healthy as we all work our way through this latest stage of the COVID-19 pandemic and all of its variants. That's it for this episode of Voices of the Community. You've been listening to the voices of the Associate Professor and Canada Research Chair in the Department of Psychology Institute for Resources, Environment, and Sustainability at the University of British Columbia, Dr. Zhang Zhao, along with the Director of the New Leaf Project, Heather Hay, and the LEAP Co-Chair and Peer Coordinator, Ray Bonnaroo. To review the first study and to find out more and support the work of Foundations for Social Change, please go to forsocialchange.org. You can find out more about the work of nonprofits working with our unhoused neighbors featured over the last 3 years and this series by going to our website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community, and then click on our COVID and San Francisco nonprofit series. And to find out more information about the first program to provide cash transfers to community members in the United States, the city of Stockton, please go to our website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community link, and then click on the Stockton's Rise from Bankruptcy link and go to episode 12. We're transitioning this special series on nonprofits, small businesses, and local governments into a new 6-part series focused on our arts and culture organizations along with their workforce. The new series will be highlighting the issues and solutions our arts and culture organizations and their workforce are struggling with to come back from the pandemic, along with addressing the systemic racism in our performing arts ecosystem. The new series will include live in-person community dialogue events that will be streamed, as well as our usual radio show, podcast, and a television show with our friends at Bay Area Video Coalition. Go to georgecoster.com and sign up for our newsletter to participate in the live shows and stay in the loop on our new series. Thank you all for your support during the run of this very important series spotlighting the work of our nonprofits, small businesses, and our local government during this global pandemic. We hope that you enjoyed the insights, points of view, and personal stories from the voices of changemakers and their nonprofits and small businesses featured in this series. To find out more and get engaged with the nonprofits, small businesses, and staff members featured in this series, please go to my website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community to find links to the extended versions of these interviews and to listen to the entire series. After listening to these stories, we hope that you will consider making a donation and volunteering to provide a hand up to your fellow community members. Today's episode was made possible by the audio wizard and our associate producer, Eric Estrada, and the graphics magic of Casey Nance from Citron Studios, along with the wonderful crew at the San Francisco Public Press and KSFP. Voices of the Community is supported by a grant from the James Irvine Foundation, dedicated to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. More at irvine.org. Voices of the Community is a member of Intersection for the Arts, which allows us to offer you a tax deduction for your contributions. Please go to georgecoster.com and click on the donate link to make a donation to help us provide future shows just like this one. While you're on our website, you can enjoy our archived past shows, which feature community voices working on solutions to critical issues facing Northern California communities. And you can sign up for our newsletter to find out more about future shows, as well as shows and events from the organizations that are included in our episodes.
Take us along on your next COVID walk by subscribing to Voices of the Community on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at George Koster, and we'd love to hear from you with feedback and show ideas, so send us an email to george@georgekoster.com. I'm George Koster in San Francisco, and thank you for listening.